Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechen Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara recounts a number of incidents that demonstrate Hillel's extreme humility and gentle way of dealing with prospective converts that Shammai rejected. To the one who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, he taught him the alt base forwards one day and then backwards the next day, demonstrating that just as he needs to rely on Hillel to understand Torah Shebiksav, he should rely on him for the veracity of Torah Shebaal Peh. To the one who wanted to learn the Torah while standing on one foot, a regal achas, he taught, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. The rest is commentary, zil gemor, go and learn. And to the one who wanted to become a kohen gadol, he had him discover on his own he was ineligible to become one. Point number two, the Gemara focuses on the centrality of Yerushamayim, fear of heaven. Rabbi learns from a pasuk in Yeshayahu that even after a person is asked 6 questions by the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal after his death, he only gets a favorable judgment if Yerushamayim, fear of heaven, was his storehouse. He likens it to someone going through all the pointless effort to store grain without mixing in a preservative, a kav chumtum. Rabbi Barbakuna said that anyone who has acquired Torah knowledge but has not acquired Yerushamayim is comparable to a treasurer to whom the keys of the inner chamber have been handed, but hasn't been given the keys to the outer chamber to gain entrance. And Rabbi Yannick proclaimed, Chaval adeleisle darta, woe unto one who doesn't own a courtyard, but he nevertheless makes for himself a gate for a courtyard. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that women are susceptible to death and childbirth due to carelessness in the observance of Nida, Chala, and Ner Shabbos. A certain Galilean expounded before Rav the reason why specifically these three mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I place a revius of blood in you to sustain the soul of man. Thus I've cautioned you concerning matters of blood, i.e. Nida as well. I've called you Reishis the first. Thus I've cautioned you about matters of the first, i.e. Chala, which is called Reishis of your kneading. And the soul I place within you is called a ner, a candle. Thus I've cautioned you concerning matters of candles, Shabbos lights. If you fill these mitzvahs, all is well. If not, I will take back your souls. So once again, let's review. Point number one, the Gemara recounts a number of incidents that demonstrates Hillel's extreme humility and gentle way of dealing with prospective converts that Shammai rejected. To the one who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, he taught him the all-based forwards one day, backwards the next, demonstrating that just as he needs to rely on Hillel to understand and learn Torah Shebiksav, he should rely on him for the veracity of Torah Shebaal Peh. To the one who wanted to learn the Torah while standing on one foot, a regal achas, he taught the alach snei lechavrach lo taved. That which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. The rest is commentary, zil gemor, go and learn. And to the one who wanted to become a kohen gadol, he had him discover on his own that as a convert, he was ineligible to become one. Point number two, the Gemara focuses on the centrality of Yerushamayim, fear of heaven. Rava learns from a pasuk in Yeshayahu that even after a person has asked 6 questions by the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, after his death, he only gets a favorable judgment if Yerushamayim was his storehouse. He likens it to someone who's going through all the pointless effort to store grain without mixing in it a preservative, a kav chumtum. Rabbi Barbakuna said that anyone who's acquired Torah knowledge but has not acquired Yerushamayim is comparable to a treasurer, a gizbar, to whom the keys of the inner chamber have been handed, but hasn't been given the keys to the outer chamber to gain entrance. And Rabbi Yannai proclaimed, Chava adeleisle darta, woe unto one who doesn't own a courtyard, Lasar Ladarta Avid, but he nevertheless makes himself a gate for a courtyard. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that women are susceptible to death and childbirth due to the carelessness and the observance of Nida, Chala, and Ner Shabbos. So a certain Galilean expounded before Rav Chisda the reasons why specifically these three mitzvahs. The Kush Baruch Hu said, I place a revius of dam in you to sustain the soul of man, thus I've cautioned you concerning matters of blood, i.e. Nida. Secondly, I've called you a reishis, the first. Thus, I've cautioned you about matters of the first, which is chala, which is called reishis of risosechem, the first of your kneading. And the soul I place within you is called a ner, a candle. Thus, I've cautioned you concerning matters of the candle, the Shabbos licht. If you fulfill these mitzvahs, all is well. If not, I will take your neshamas. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman from an olive is connected to the law. And we use a judge in the siman, a judge connected to the law. So here goes. The kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out that Yerushamayim is the whole goal in Yiddishkeit, and specifically 3 mitzvahs women should be aware of. Once again, it's Lamotion. The kindly judge, a man of the law, that means Ron Dov Lamed Aleph. The kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, which reminds us the Gemara recounts a number of incidents that demonstrate Hillel's extreme humility and gentle way of dealing with prospective converts that Shammai rejected. To the one who did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, he taught him the all-base forwards one day, then backwards the next day, demonstrating that just as he needs to rely on Hillel to learn Torah Shebiksav, he should rely on him for the veracity of Torah Shebaal Peh. To the one who wanted to learn the Torah while standing on one foot, al regel achas, he taught, da alach tznei lechavrach lo taved, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. The rest is commentary, zil gemor, go and learn. And to the one who wanted to become a kohen gadol, he had him discover on his own that as a convert, he was ineligible to become one. So the kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out that Yerushalayim is the whole goal in Yiddishkeit, which reminds us the Gemara focuses on the centrality of Yerushalayim, fear of heaven. Rava learns from the pasuk in Yeshayahu that even after a person is asked six questions by the Beis in Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, after his death, he only gets a favorable judgment if fear of Hashem was his storehouse. He likens it to someone going through all the pointless effort to store grain while mixing in a preservative, kav chumten. Rabbi Baruch Huna said that anyone who's acquired Torah knowledge but has not acquired Yerushalayim is comparable to a gizbar, a treasure to whom the keys of the inner chamber have been handed, but has not been given the keys of the outer chamber to gain entrance. And Rabbi Yanni proclaimed, chaval da leisle darta, woe unto one who doesn't own a courtyard, lasar le darta of it, but he nevertheless makes himself a gate for the courtyard. So the kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out that Yerushalayim is the whole goal in Yiddishkeit, and specifically three mitzvahs women should be aware of. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that women are susceptible to death in childbirth due to carelessness in the observance of Nida, Challah, and their Shabbos. A certain Galilean expounded before Rav Chisda the reasons why specifically these three mitzvahs. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I place a ravias of blood in you to sustain the soul of a man, thus have cautioned you concerning matters of blood, i.e. Nida. I've called you Reishis, the first, thus I've cautioned you about matters of the first, i.e. Challah, which is called Reishis Arisosechem, the first of your kneading. And the soul I place within you is called a ner, a candle, thus I've cautioned you concerning matters of the candles, Shabbos Licht. If you fulfill these mitzvahs, all is well. If not, I will take back your souls. So once again, the kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out that Yerushalayim is the whole goal in Yiddishkeit, and specifically three mitzvahs women should be aware of. All right, now it's time for four blot back chazara. Dav Chav Zayin. So the Simcha Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo. Kazoo, that means we're on Dav Chav Zayin. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material, which reminds us, a brice is brought to support Rabbi's view that Rabbi Shimon Lazar is the opinion that even materials other than wool and linen are makabel tuma if they're 3x3 tefachim. The Brisa states that from the word in the Parsha of Tumas Sheretz, beged, a garment, we can only learn the source of a garment of wool or linen, similar to the specified beged garment in the Parsha of Tzaras. When the Torah states, o beged, or a garment, one can derive that other garments are makabel tuma from a sheretz as well. Abaya, who holds that according to everyone, garments of other materials besides wool and linen are not makabel tuma, he uses this drasha to teach that a cloth of wool or linen that are even 3x3 finger breadths, as baos, are makabel tuma from a sheretz. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis, which reminds us, it was taught in a brice regarding tzitzis, that the pasuk of Uriisim Oiso, and you shall see it, implies that there's no obligation to wear tzitzis when wearing a night garment, exus laila, since they can't be seen at night. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis and hiding behind the flax tree. Which reminds us, the third mission of the Perek states that anything that comes from a tree may not be used as a wick to light for Shabbos except for flax. Since flax is not a tree, the Gemara seeks the source where is it referred to as a tree, which therefore compelled the Mishnah to exclude flax from all other trees. It quotes the pasuk from the story of Rachav, and she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the trees of flax. B'pishdei eitz. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simcha Chav Ches is a strong man, koach, strong man. So here goes. The big strong man reminding us, we're on Daf Chav Ches. The big strong man whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, which reminds us, the Rav Yosef says that the Targum translates the word Tachash, the animal whose beautiful hide was used for the Mishkan, as Sasgona, which Rav Yosef explains to mean it rejoices in the beauty of its many colors, Sas begavnin harbe. Later on in the Daf, we learn that Rabbi Ullah said in the name of Rabbi Shlakish, Rabbi Meir used to say, that the Tachash that exists in the days of Moshe Benu was a unique species, and the sages could not decide if it was Behem or Achayet. It had a single horn in its forehead and presented itself to Moshe for the need of the hour for its hides to be used for the cover of the Mishkan. Afterwards, it was hidden. So since the Tachash had a single horn on its head, it can be determined that it was a kosher animal based on the rule that any horned animal can be presumed to be kosher. That's based on Gemara Nida. So the big strong man whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side sold kosher tefillin straps by the side of the road, which reminds us the brice was brought that stated that the only hide fit for the service of heaven, Malach HaShemayim, is the hide of a kosher animal. The Gemara clarifies that the service of heaven, the Melech HaShemayim, is referring to tefillin, and the Brice is coming to teach specifically that the straps of the tefillin must come from a kosher animal. We also learned that the requirement of the parchments and tefillin boxes to come from kosher hides is learned from the pasuk about tefillin, L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha, so the Torah Hashem will be in your mouth. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is requiring that the parts of tefillin that have Torah written upon them must be from an animal that is permissible to be eaten, mina mutar b'ficha, from that which is permissible in your mouth. So the big strong man whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side stood kosher tefillin straps by the side of the road, wrapped up carefully in pure folded cloth. Which reminds the Gemara, the next mission begins with an explanation of the dispute, where the folded cloth that is 3 by 3 etzba'os, finger breadths, is makabel tuma. Rabbi Yezer holds that folding the cloth alone does not negate its status as a garment, and therefore can be makabel tuma. And the Rif explains that a garment will only lose its status if the change has a lasting impact on it. Rabbi Kiva holds that folding the cloth does serve to negate the cloth's status as a garment, and therefore it is no longer makabel tuma. Daf Chavtes. So the Simper Chavtes is a cot, a little bed. So here we go. The crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day. Cot, that reminds us, we're on Daf Chavtes. The crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, which reminds us, the Rava says the reason why Rabbi Eliezer prohibits the use of the cloth wick that was not singed is that a wick that was not charred doesn't light properly. So the crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, which reminds us, Rabbi Menuhin said, the machlokes between Rabbi Ezra and Akiva in the Mishnah, whether a cloth wick is makabel tuma, is specifically for a cloth that's less than by 3 tefachim, which lost its status of a beggar because it was designated for some insignificant use, such as a rag, and then the owner puts it aside by hanging it on a peg or putting it by a door. Rabbi Ezra holds that since the owner sets it aside for a later use by hanging it on a peg or by a door, it indicates that he now regards the cloth as significant, and the cloth regains its status as a beggar. Therefore, it's makabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva holds that since the owner only hung the rag on a peg or placed it by the door, it indicates that he didn't intend to reestablish his status as a beggar, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. So the crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, and perforating eggshells to drip oil into his lamps. Which reminds the mission presents some halachos between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, whether one might come to remove oil on Shabbos from the following three lamps, and thereby be liable for mechaba, for extinguishing. Case number one, a perforated eggshell filled with oil and placed over the mouth of a lit lamp so that the oil drips into it. Case two, a perforated earthenware vessel made to do the same. And case three, a bowl filled with oil with a long wick placed beside a lit lamp for the wick to draw the oil to the lamp. The Rabban prohibited their use for fear one might draw oil from the vessel since it's separate from the lamp. Yehuda was lenient and saw no need for precaution since the sight of the oil dripping onto the wick made it clear that one cannot remove the oil. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is Melamed, a Rebbe in a classroom. And I can make a little switch. Instead of saying the Rebbe was teaching his class about great leaders of the past, I'm going to change it to the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, just to make it a little more visual. So here goes. The Rebbe, Melamed, that means we're on Daf Lamed. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, which reminds us Rav Tamchum Nevi presented a public discourse where he reconciled seeming contradictions between Shlomo Melech's teachings and the teachings of David HaMelech, as well as seeming contradictions within Kohelis and Mishlei themselves. One example is that in Tehillim, David HaMelech states, "L'hameisim yahalelu ka," the dead cannot extol Hashem, which implies the living are better than those that have already died. Yet in Kohelis, Shlomo Melech writes, "L'shabeach ani es hameisim shekvar meisu min hachayim asher chayim adena," and I praise the dead who have already died more than the living that shall live. One of Rav Tamchu's explanations is that the way of the world is that when a ruler of flesh and blood, a boss of Adam, issues a decree, not everybody fulfills that. And even those that do, it will only be during the ruler's lifetime. But Moshe Rabbeinu issued many gezeras and takanas, and we fulfill them to this day. Therefore, the pshat, according to Rashi, is that the dead is referring to the leaders of earlier generations who have a much more profound influence than the living, which is referring to today's leaders. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past when suddenly the doors of the classroom flung open, which reminds us, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David HaMelech for the sin involving Bathsheba, he refused David's request for a public sign to demonstrate that he was forgiven during David's lifetime, telling him that it will become known in the time of Shlomo Melech. That time arrived with the inauguration of the base of Mikdash, when the gates of the Kodesh Kodashim miraculously clung to each other and would not open. After a number of failed attempts, such as reciting 24 songs of prayer, the doors finally opened when Shlomo Melech asked that they open in the merit of David HaMelech and his chus. It then became clear to everyone that David HaMelech was forgiven for the sin and his enemies became humiliated. And this is all in Kapitel Chavdalet in Tehillim, Psalm 24. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, when suddenly the doors of the classroom flung open, and their staircase outside started to cave, which reminds us, although Kodesh Baruch Hu would not reveal to David HaMelech how long he would live, he did reveal to him that he would pass away on a Shabbos. From then on, every Shabbos, David HaMelech would learn the entire day, fostering the attempts of the Malka Mavis to take him. One Shabbos, the Malka Mavis shook the branches of a tree outside David's room and startled him. So as David ascended a staircase to see what was happening, he was startled when a stair caved under him, and for a moment he was silent and stopped learning. It was then that he died. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn that the Tachash had one horn, which means it's presumed to be a kosher animal? That's on daf Chavches. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn how David HaMelech came to die on Shabbos? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 3. Where do we learn that the whole point in Yiddishkeit is Yerushalayim, that it's the preservative of our Torah? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 4. Where do we learn that tefillin straps must be made from the hide of kosher animals? That's on daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 5. Where do we learn that Yal V'Yavo is recited on days when Musaf is recited? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 6. Where do we learn that one is permitted to burn Tamei Truma? That's on daf Chav He. Good. Number 7. Where do we learn the question whether Al Hanisim is recited in benching? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 8. Where do we learn the reasons why women are susceptible to death and childbirth due to 3 specific averos? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 9. Where do we have the question whether a beggar that was used for an insignificant use and then put aside regains its status as a beggar? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. And finally, question number 10. Where do we learn why one can't put wheat in a water mill if it will continue to work on Shabbos? That's on daf Yudches. Excellent. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Which daf do we learn the 6 behaviors that are unbecoming to Talmid Chachamim? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 2. What do we learn about Bezalel's wisdom? That's on daf Nun Hey. Good. And number 3. What do we learn about the concept of Tashlumi making up for missed tefilos? That's on daf Chavav. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.